You're tuned to Katie and Kay. This is Heart Song and a show about personal transformations, turning what's challenging into things that are beneficial. And on this topic today, we will be talking with Peter Van Winkle, who is a men's leader and coach who lives in Paonia and will be offering a workshop through Davi Nikent tonight at 6:30. It's called From Sweet to Sovereign, Raising Men of Character in an Age of Toxic Masculinity. Peter, how are you today?
I'm great, Raleigh. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for joining me on Katie and Kay. Just to get started, what was your path towards this kind of work?
I guess in some ways I was my own first client. Growing up in... There's a great title of a book by Chelis Glendening. Hi, my name is Chelis, and I'm in recovery from Western civilization. And I feel like I can relate to that. Growing up in, to really well-meaning, loving parents in an ostensibly sort of normal suburban childhood and sort of seeing cracks coming in through the narrative that I was in. And, maybe feeling like there were ways in which this thing I was chasing after, this belonging, this both masculine belonging, this sort of corporate capitalistic belonging, that started to feel like they weren't really working for me. And my 20s, a series of sort of self-inflicted and maybe culturally inflicted wounds or failures or sort of disillusionments, kind of setting out on my own. And then having to realize, wow, that's hard. That's bringing me into contact with the limiting beliefs and the fears and the ways in which I am not prepared to take responsibility for this one wild, precious life, which I am currently stewarding. And just basically in layman's terms, just kind of waking up in my 20s and being like, WTF, I'm depressed. I'm struggling. And after working with men as a coach, well, after straightening out my own stuff and to more or less degree of completion, we're never done. Really, really seeing the way men and boys are sort of woefully, unprepared in certain ways, and in a way, unshepherded to the frontiers of their own luminous identity that they are forming in a world that just wants to keep the lights on and keep things going, but isn't so concerned about us finding an identity that is more than cultural, and you could even say mythopoetic or soulful. And so realizing, wow, I can start to grok my own way of showing up and then meeting others and being validated in that, and then turn to support people, and then realizing, wow, it's the boys who I feel there's real ways that we can show up for them. So.
Well, one of the topics in tonight's workshop is the hidden developmental stage between boyhood and manhood. Could you tell us a little bit about what that is?
Sure. Yeah, thanks for asking. I feel like we see a lot and hear a lot of this sort of meme or this term, like boys to men. And there's this idea of like, how do we bring our boys to manhood? And it used to be that boys would follow around their fathers in the tractor or in the whatever it might be in the fields and kind of get that education. And now it's that's not as obvious. But I feel like, especially when you talk to mothers, when you do this kind of work, they don't necessarily want to sort of launch their boys into manhood. There's a way in which these sweet young boys, and I'm thinking of, when you first, you have like two categories, two age groups, like 11 to 13, and then again, like, 14 to 17. There's a way in which boys that are still, we're thinking of as boys, you know, really need to move into adolescence and young sort of explorers, young thespians trying on different ways of being, even trying on different ways of gendering before we can start to even think about what being a man might look like. And that just feels more compassionate. It feels more real to me. It feels more, in some ways safe, in other ways dangerous. If by dangerous you mean really getting to confront identities that maybe the sort of dominant paradigm of Western capitalism might not be so cozy with. But yeah, that middle stage of adolescence and that adolescence stage has rites and markers and celebrations at both ends, both entering into adolescence and saying goodbye to childhood, and then departing from adolescence and arriving at a kind of naming, which we really don't have much of in this culture because, as many have noted, it's pretty much pathologically adolescent, i.e. people just don't ever get out of that stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lack of initiation. And what do you think are the consequences of that lack of initiation for men in particular?
Well, I mean, the consequences are pretty breathtaking, pretty broad, pretty global, and in some ways the water we're swimming in. I mean, we're living in the consequences of no more initiation. We're living in the world where even right now, just the sort of earth-killing machine of, you know, the planes and the fossil fuel burning and the production of plastic trinkets is coming to a kind of screeching halt. And there's a sense of, on the one hand, if we don't turn that thing back on, we're all going to die. But on the other hand, if we do turn it back on, we're going to kill the earth. Mm-hmm. Or we're going to really bring the earth to its knees. And there's this kind of really difficult choice that may seem like a binary choice, but actually through the willingness to confront that very, very, very difficult and uncomfortable place, we're kind of coming to a cultural initiation. But the reason we need a cultural initiation is because our individual initiations of men in particular, but not only, is why we find ourselves at this just really tragic crossroads.
You have on your website a proverb that's African about the uninitiated male might burn the village to feel that heat. And I'm paraphrasing from what I remember. So what is it about an initiation? What makes a proper initiation, and what does it do for the soul that is so necessary?
I think what it does for the soul is puts the ego in its right footing, in its proper place, in terms of serving something larger than itself. There's a way in which, you know, left to our own devices, as boys, as men, we can kind of tromp through the world thinking that it's all about me and it's all about my comfort. And we can take that or my prominence or my recognition or my esteem, and we can take that centering of our own story well into so-called adulthood. And when we have an experience that is so powerful and so moving in a certain ways, and in some ways, maybe even, you know, deeply uncomfortable, we can fall in love with something that's, we get shaken out of and cracked through and realizing like, oh my gosh, there's a watershed that I'm in love with. There's a soul that I'm in love with. There's a woman or a man or a human that I'm in love with. There is something and bigger than me. And I want to live in service of that. And that isn't just like a one-time, in our world anyway, anymore, just like a one-time thing. It needs to be this, culturally installed reminders and celebrations and validations of this is this other thing that you saw and that you fell in love with and that you made a promise to serve that above all else.
So we have a sense of toxic masculinity being ego-driven, often violent and competitive. What to you is healthy masculinity? How should men be behaving in a wholesome way that supports our culture and community?
Yeah. So, I mean, the short answer is as protectors of the sacred, well, one way is that in the healthy masculine, things like beauty and personal beauty, and both in the way we might dress or talk or act or dance, are not sort of called feminine or called not masculine, right? So healthy masculinity would include like a capacity and a sort of pride or willingness to be willfully beautiful. And so I guess, yeah, a lot of taking down of these binary categories that keep men in a cage. And when you ask, like, well, why, who does it serve? It doesn't necessarily serve the men. It serves something sort of behind the men, something larger, something more that the men are sort of conscripted into service of, this, you know, sort of machine of domination, extraction, and exploitation that really underlies capitalism.
For those of you just tuning in, this is Heartsong on KDNK, and I'm speaking with Peter Van Winkle, who is a men's leader and coach who is based in Peonia and is leading a workshop on Zoom tonight called From Sweet to Sovereign, Raising Men of Character in an Age of Toxic Masculinity. And we were sharing a little bit about what healthy masculinity could look like. And I like what you said about being a protector of the sacred and summing it up in that way. Because I think, you know, there's such an important role for the masculine, and it's essential for that sense of purpose to be met. In your work, you do a lot with mentorship and ceremony and wilderness. And you also studied with Bolad's Kitchen, Martin Pretschel. I'm not sure the exact pronunciation of his name, but could you talk
Martin
a little?
Prechtel.
Could you talk a little bit about that study and the philosophies that you gained from it?
Well, I mean, that's a whole other conversation, but I could say, I mean, Martin, a lot of his work working with the youth of the Tzotzil village of Santiago Atitlan in Guatemala, in basically being an initiator of the young boys and the young men. And, you know, in that line, you know, I learned lots of really beautiful and sort of linguistically delicious pockets of intact indigenous culture, not to copy or steal, you know, as people of, you know, European descent, but more of like getting a whiff of what initiation and what an old way of initiating and what an old culture that holds initiation itself could look like. And so really just remaining in respectful sort of regard for those teachings. And again, not trying to sort of lift from them or appropriate them, that there's this sense that like the earth is alive and fresh and generous and making of everything that we eat and drink and wear is coming from the natural earth, and that we always take from her unthinkingly and in some ways, you know, selfishly and even violently, and she just keeps giving. And so like in that culture, in that Guatemalan culture, in that Mayan culture, it's the youth's job, the boys and the girls, right when they come of age, right when they enter puberty, to kind of be separated and then go through a trial in which they feed the earth and court and coax and weep and praise and ask and feed the earth and ask her to come back and continue living. And that these kinds of sort of annual ceremonies that took an entire village to pull off are what kept the whole thing going. And again, not to steal it or appropriate it, but just like remembering that there's a way of seeing the earth and us in it in the right proportions, where we're not the biggest thing, but we're actually sort of suckling at the breast of the mother. And we should remember that and feed her and thank her and remind ourselves, even when we forget that, as often as we can. And that just opens up a whole possibility of how we can relate to our young people and what, because they want to go climb a mountain and fight an enemy. They want to go, and that, and if we don't recognize that energy and bring it into view and yoke it to a healthy, ceremony, then it's sort of available to be co-opted by any of the corporations or apps that are like wanting to make the next financial customer that they can lock in for 20 or 30 years at the expense of what? Just the soul of these kids.
Hmm. And what do you imagine possible locally in the North Fork Valley, Roaring Fork Valley, Western Colorado? What would you like to see as the transformation within your lifetime?
I love that question. I mean, I don't feel so bold as to assume that there's going to be any kind of... I really think that the opportunity is to begin to shift and move the culture, to begin to mirror and reflect that you as a child, you as a young man or young woman, young human, you have a soul life, you have a destiny, you have a way of orienting to life and to the world and to your own creativity that I, as your parent or as your mentor, don't even see and can never really be able to grasp. And being kind of stewards of that and creating the beginnings of initiatory culture, it's a big, big, big thing. And so I don't sit here and say, like, we're going to do that in a lifetime. But we'll probably have plenty of work in this lifetime to get going on that project.
Mm-hmm. I've been reflecting a lot since watching the film, The Mask You Live In, that was brought to our community by Navi Nikent some months ago. And I've been reflecting on my own experience of growing up and the way that I sought purpose. And I think that necessity can bring a lot of kids to things like video games as a place of finding kind of accomplishment and self-worth. And so to me, it becomes really important that we offer spaces within our community and its leadership for youth to be engaged in the real world in constructive and purposeful ways, which comes with trusting kids and their opinions and their creativity.
Totally.
And you talk about mentorship in this workshop as well. And I think that really touches on it as well. It's a responsibility of adults to take on youth and to guide them.
Yeah, I agree. I think that maybe the biggest thing adults who would show up as elders or as mentors or as guides, the biggest thing that they could have would be to have the eyes that can see the shimmering, coming into form identity of the young person in front of them. And so it's not so important that they have the skills or the ideas or the right way of doing something, or even the ability to just accept what the youth is doing. Because as they bring in whatever their ideas or their championship of some cause or a particular project, being able to see that in the context of an identity that's coming into view that we don't necessarily have not known yet is a kind of comfort with our own discomfort as mentors and elders that who is coming before you is someone who will see a world that you will not see and who is making a world that you will not know. And so this, having this comfort with your own discomfort, being a more important thing, this being able to see and to bless the beauty of the unformed or the forming, rather than be the knower or be the sort of explicit guide or be even the initiator. It's really more of a tenuous dance with energy, just sort of enabling and feeding, almost as you would a tree or a plant, and just saying, you need sun, here's sun. You need light, here's light. And most of all, what you need is to be seen for who you are.
So we're not knowing exactly what we're forming these kids to be, but we're allowing them the support and the room to grow into their authentic identity.
Yeah, because otherwise we get caught in the trap of just creating automatons and praising them for doing what we understand and think is good. But if what we understand and think is good is built on an uninitiated sort of capitalist, you know, prioritizing. This is not to say that capitalism broadly across the board has no role. This is just to say that if the values that we're able to recognize and praise have only relevance inside of a sort of linear capitalist system, we're going to miss the holism and earth-centered and beauty of the song and strange speech that is trying to bubble forth in the bodies of these initiates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very important that we don't know what the future brings. And so we have to trust that the people who are being born now know things and hold skills that we might not recognize but are essential to the continuance of our species.
Exactly. And maybe even more so, are developing a capacity to dance and be with a way of culturing that we might not even recognize as valuable.
Mm-hmm. Well, Peter, we are about out of time for today's program. I want to let people know that if they want to join this workshop, it's tonight at 6:30 and it's 90 minutes, so it ends at 8 p.m. They can email info@davinikent, that's davinikent.org, or they can also visit davinikent.org for those details. And Peter, you also have a website. Would you like to share a bit about your offerings there?
Sure. There's not much on there lately. Most of it I've been doing through social media, but my website is petervw.com. And both spellings of my name go to the same place. I've been doing a lot of blogging there recently. But most of my offerings in terms of the virtual men's councils and just ways to plug in with me through coaching and so on, through my Instagram and my website.
And so you offer one-on-one coaching as well as guiding group workshops?
Yeah, mostly I work with men, but also with couples and with women, really in like tracking the thread of their soulful unfolding and becoming in the world at any age.
Mm. Well, Peter Van Winkle, thank you so much for the work that you're doing and for sharing a little bit of it with us today. Is there anything else that you'd like to share?
Oh, thank you, Raleigh, for such sort of insightful and thoughtful questions and for centering these kinds of conversations. I really appreciate it.
We'll have a wonderful workshop later this evening, and we'll look forward to hearing from you again in the future.
Great. Thank you so much.